SBS acknowledges the traditional custodians of country and their connections and continuous care for the skies, lands and waterways across Australia.
You're listening to Australia Explained, an SBS audio podcast helping you navigate life in Australia.
Warning: this story contains the names of people who have passed.
Native title continues to evolve, with new agreements shaping how land, water and heritage are protected for future generations across Australia. I'm Nakaya Hutchings, a proud Wanneroo Gringai woman, and today I'll be hosting this special episode of Australia Explained. Australia is known around the world for its rich and diverse First Nations cultures. But when it comes to native title and land rights, you might still wonder what they actually mean. So, what is native title? And how did it come about? Native title, land rights, and treaty are three different approaches used to strengthen this culture and keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders connected to the land. You can find out more about land rights and treaty in our previous episodes. This episode is about native title. We'll explain what it is, the history, and how it differs from land rights and what it means. For more than 200 years, Australia was declared terra nullius, meaning empty land, not recognising the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who lived here before white settlement. That changed with one historic legal case, the Mabo case. In 1982, a group of Meriam people, led by Eddie Mabo, began a legal case seeking recognition of their traditional ownership of the Murray Islands in the Torres Strait, a small group of islands just above the tip of Queensland, at the very top of Australia. The case was lengthy, lasting nearly a decade. Then, in 1992, the High Court of Australia made a landmark decision, recognising that the Meriam people held native title over their lands. This ruling was historic. It overturned the long-held legal fiction of terra nullius. Following that decision, the Native Title Act 1993 was passed by the Federal Parliament. On 15 November 1993, then Prime Minister Paul Keating addressed the nation, outlining the Australian government's response to the High Court's Mabo decision.
The court's decision was unquestionably just. It rejected a lie and acknowledged the truth. The lie was terra nullius, the convenient fiction that Australia had been a land of no one. The truth was native title, the fact that the land had once belonged to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians, and that in some places a legal right to it had survived the 200 years of European settlement.
Native title is recognising that some First Nations peoples still have rights to their land and waters based on their traditional laws and customs. These rights are not given by governments or made through negotiation. They are recognised by Australian courts. Native title is often described as a bundle of rights because it includes many different rights, not just one. These rights can include using land and waters for hunting, fishing, ceremonies, and caring for important cultural places. It recognises collective or communal rights that stem from long-held cultural and spiritual traditions, rather than private or commercial ownership. However, native title does not replace other land uses, such as farming, mining, or local government activities. In many places, these uses exist alongside native title. This means First Nations peoples often share land rights with others, like farmers, miners, or councils. For Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, native title is about far more than land. It's about identity, culture, and belonging. Professor Peter Yu, a Waru leader and academic, explains.
What native title does is provides you with the opportunity to reframe the nature of fundamental rules that govern your community and relationship. So that's basically in terms of my own community. What it does do, it also provides a reinvigorated foundation for learning and relearning languages and song and dance and cultural knowledge so that we're able to continue the path of building succession capabilities in our families, in our tribal groups.
But achieving recognition isn't simple. To establish native title, communities must show ongoing connection to the land, often through oral histories, stories, and records passed down through generations. The legal process is complex, and traditional law and custom don't always fit neatly into Western legal frameworks. Lawyer Gwyneth Godavan, who specializes in native title and heritage law, explains the challenges.
We're trying to fit a traditional culture into like a framework. We're just trying to stuff it in and trying to make it work when really, and yeah, that it says inherently challenges in that, which creates problems because the system itself that we're trying to fit into has not been created. The framework has not been designed for that.
Even so, native title has brought real and lasting change. It has helped communities revive their languages, restore traditional ways of caring for land and water, and take a stronger role in decisions about their traditional land and waters. Since the Native Title Act was introduced, native title now covers around 40% of Australia, mostly in remote and regional areas where traditional connection to country has been maintained. But it's important to remember that this is different to land ownership. If you're living in a city or regional area, like many migrants, native title probably won't change your daily life, but understanding it is a step toward respect and reconciliation. Gwyneth Godavan again.
I think it's really important to note, and this is very generally speaking, but something like native title rights and interests are really not going to affect people on a personal level. People think it's going to affect their life on like a day-to-day, and I can't really see it doing that.
As Paul Keating said when reflecting on the Mabo decision, bringing native title into Australia's land management system was not just about justice for First Nations peoples. It was a step forward for all Australians.
We can move on to see Mabo as a tremendous opportunity it is, an opportunity to right an historic wrong, an opportunity to transcend the history of dispossession, an opportunity to restore the age-old link between Aboriginal land and culture, an opportunity to heal a source of bitterness, an opportunity to recognise Aboriginal culture as a defining element of our nationhood, and to make clear that this Australia, this modern, free and tolerant Australia, can be a secure and bountiful place for all, including the first Australians.
For many First Nations peoples, native title is not just a legal process. It's a way to keep their ancestors' stories alive. For people new to Australia, understanding native title helps us see the deep connection First Nations peoples have with the land, a connection that's thousands of years old and still alive today. Native title continues to evolve, with new agreements shaping how land, water, and heritage are protected for future generations across Australia. Land rights, treaty, and native title all have different legal and political processes, but all aim to recognise First Nations people's connection to country and support self-determination.
We need to have our land, our culture, our language, and our community. We're not opposed to development, but we need to have this as the foundation.
Thank you for listening to this episode, written by me, Nakaya Hutchings. Australia Explained Managing Editor is Rosa Germian. Sound design and mix is by Maram Ismail.
This was an SBS audio podcast. For more Australia Explained stories, visit sbs.com.au/Australia Explained.
Subscribe or follow the Australia Explained podcast for more valuable information and tips about settling into your new life in Australia. Do you have any questions or topic ideas? Send us an email to australiaexplained@sbs.com.au.